Hey everyone, and welcome to the Greater Than Podcast. My name's Elijah Merle. We're back again, man, and we're here in the Spirit Wind Conference. We're keeping it going, man. The next session was with Dustin Martin. What a powerful ministry on prayer and being in the Spirit. I want you to have your ears in tune to hear. I believe there were real answers in this particular message about where our prayer lives are concerned. Sit back and relax and enjoy this podcast and this episode entitled In the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want to honor Pastor William and his wife. Thank you all so much for opening the house and allowing Elijah to have these meetings. That says a lot about you and the confidence that you have in the anointing of call that's on his life. And so I just honor you and say thank you for doing that. Elijah, thank you for obeying God and allowing us to inviting me and others and having these services. I believe they're strategic. I believe that there are some things that God's going to do in these services that are timely and that are a voice for what God is doing in this time in the church. And so you're at the right place at the right time. Amen. And so we're just honored and glad to be here tonight. And if you're okay with this, I'm going to skip some of my introductory things. For you that don't know me, those that are watching online, my name is Dustin Martin. And in 2012, we launched Martin Ministries International. It's what we do full time. We travel around the world and preach the gospel. I guess I will do a little introductory. Sounds like you're going anyways. But the Lord, when he called us to step out, he gave me Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. And this says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned that I may have a word in season to them that are weary. And any time that there's somebody that's weary, it causes you to draw back. It causes you to second guess yourself. I like to box, and I used to box, I used to train. And my coach used to tell us that when you doubt or you become fatigued, it makes a coward out of anyone. And so the job of the Word of God is to bring a spiritual renewal on the inside of you where there's a confidence and a boldness. And so the Lord God's given me the tongue of the Lord that I may have a word in season to them that are weary. Morning by morning, he awakens me to hear. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But he awakens me to hear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. And so there's an importance of having that word that has the ability to change the course of somebody's life. How many of y'all know one word from God will change everything? And so we endeavor to do that, to seek God, to have that word in season. And then later the Lord gave me Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And in short, Paul was talking to the church there, and I had adopted it into our ministry. And it's simply this: to impart, establish, and encourage. And that is what we're about. That's what Martin Ministry is imparting spiritual gifts, imparting words of grace, and in part establishing core biblical principles, things that help individuals to achieve the destiny and the call that God has placed upon their lives, and then simply to encourage faith. Come on, how many of you know a lot of us just need a little bit of encouragement? Someone just to pat you on the back, say, I believe in you, you're going to make it, don't give up, don't throw in the towel, and that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so that's what we're doing, and that's what we're about. And of course, there's some other aspects to that. And so we're just blessed, and we're excited about what God is doing, and just the ability to be a voice in these last days. I was preaching just recently, and I told some people I'm not an end times preacher. But then I got to thinking about it, that we're in the end times, and I am a preacher. So I guess if you put them together, it all works. But at any rate, we're just glad to be here tonight. If you would, turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. I'm going to dive into what I'm going to title this message tonight, In the Spirit. In the Spirit. And as you're turning there, I encourage you tonight, take notes. Write some things down, whether it's electronic, on paper, because statistically speaking, people that take notes are more likely not to go to hell. It's not true. It's not true, but it sounds good. So you're going to want to write some things down. Hallelujah. Look, if you will, to Luke chapter 3. Man, we're going to have a good time tonight. Like Elijah said, sometimes when we get around, just a goofy comes out in me, and it's a little bit of my personality. And some people say, Dustin, they'll get around me, and we're funny, we're having fun, we're cracking jokes, and then I get up to preach, and they're like, man, why aren't you funny when you preach? And I just sometimes get so excited and passionate about what I've studied, I get into that. So we'll see what the Lord does. Maybe we'll crack a joke from here and there. I keep thinking of this joke. Can I tell one joke? Let's do one joke real quick before we get in. Because once I get the chicken kicking, folks, it's hard to pump the brakes. I'm going to be honest with you. told myself I was going to be dignified tonight. Hallelujah. But y'all have heard this joke before, but I really, I was thinking about it randomly. I was praying in my room today, and I'm like, I'm going to tell that joke. And I feel led right now to do so. but this lady, she was at the mall. She was shopping, and she found the dress. Come on, ladies, the dress. It was a beautiful, just exquisite red dress, and she was trying it on. And so she just was like, this is the dress. And so she calls her husband. She said, honey, I found the dress. He said, well, okay, great. She said, it's beautiful. He said, what color? She said, it's red. And the only problem is, honey, it's real expensive. He said, well, sweetie, I just don't think right now it's the time for us to buy the dress. I don't know if it's in the budget. And so they hung up the phone, and he gets off work. He comes home, and he walks in the front door, and there she is standing in this beautiful red dress. And he stops and he says, sweetie, is that the dress? She said, yes, it is. And he said, I thought we said we weren't going to buy it. She said, I know, but the devil made me do it. He said, you should have told the devil, get thee behind me, Satan. She said, I didn't. He said, it looks good from back here. It looks good from back here too. So, praise the Lord. Now let's pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke, have you found it? I gave you enough time. Luke chapter 3. I want to share some things that God has been speaking to me on, some things that have been stirring in my heart. And I'm believing God for divine utterance tonight, that we'll say some things that will bring some awareness to your life concerning the things of God. Luke chapter 3, look at verse 21. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. Verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven that said, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. In these two verses that we find some things that just jumped out that I want to bring your attention to, that as Jesus was being baptized, the Bible says that while he was being baptized, he prayed. While Jesus was being baptized, he prayed. And the Lord has been speaking to me. I've been writing, I've been talking about this idea of prayer and there being a paradigm shift where the word prayer is concerned. Because a lot of times when we think of the word prayer, there's this achieving, there's this doing, this warring mentality that goes into play where there's, we're gonna get together and we're going to pray. I mean, even to the degree that you can have thousands in attendance in a service, and yet you're saying, hey, don't forget, Monday night at 7 o'clock we'll be here and we're going to have a prayer service, and out of the 1,000, 5 show up. Because I think our mentality, there needs to be a shifting, there needs to be a changing where it comes to the word prayer, where it's not so much about getting or doing, but rather receiving. Where we're getting into that place of desiring the intimate presence of the Father to seek His face and just bask in who He is for the purpose of hearing and seeing. To where we begin to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer where it's not so much about location as it is about access. I think we all should have a prayer closet somewhere in our house, whether it's your office, your living room, somewhere where you get alone and you seek the face of God. But it's not so much about what I'm speaking about here with Jesus began to pray. It wasn't so much about location as it was about an access. The Bible says in Hebrews that we boldly come into the throne room of grace. There's an access. We work out of our home, and so we have this, the house that we're living in has a front room, because back in the day, people would come over. You wouldn't let them see the whole house because it may not be cleaned up. You know what I'm talking about? But you had the front sitting room, and you could bring them in there, sit them down, serve them tea, and enjoy some time together. So it's one of those homes where there's a formal sitting room, just an area. And so it's my office, and I have a sliding door on this side, and then I went to IKEA, and I got these beautiful drapes that hang from a large rod on this end so I can shut the drapes, and I can create my office, my secret place. And we'll tell my children Ezra, who's 5, and Brooklyn, who's 3, Daddy's in the office, Daddy's working, Daddy's taking care of business. And there's just something about that just doesn't make sense to them, because even though I may be in there and the doors are shut, they just kind of come bebopping in. And sometimes it's for something serious, and sometimes it's just to show me something kind of silly. But how many of y'all know there's no, unless I'm on a phone call or something serious, there's no real correction in that. Why? Because that's my son, that's my daughter, and I welcome them in. Always. Always. I heard a story, I can't remember who it was, and I want to say it was Pastor Robert Morris, but I don't remember. But this gentleman was in a meeting with some important people, and the son walked right in and interrupted the meeting, and the dad didn't go, "Son, now I'm in a meeting, you need to step outside." There was this gentle, "Hey, that's my boy," introduced him to the people, took time, stopped everything. "What do you need?" And there's this reverence, there's this idea that God wants us to have when it comes to who He is, that we're not coming in shy, timid. There is a reverential fear of who our God is, but there's a frequency and a desire to bask in the presence of God. And I was thinking about this when it said, "And Jesus prayed." Can I ask you tonight, what do you think Jesus was praying? "Our Father, which art in heaven." No, it wasn't doing the Lord's Prayer. "Hail Mary, full of grace." No, I doubt that was going on either. What was Jesus praying in that moment? I don't think it was so much about a confession as it was an altering of his perspective from a natural to the spiritual. Because while Jesus prayed, the Bible says, point number one, if you're taking notes tonight, the heaven, not heavens, but the heaven was opened. Prayer changes your location. And your perception. Prayer changes your location and your perception. I looked that word up. It says the ability to see and hear or become, watch this, aware of something. Prayer changes your location. Jesus began to pray and the heaven was open. Location of the natural circumstances seemed to evaporate and fade into the distance as the awareness of the Almighty in heaven were opened. The ability to see and hear becomes aware of something. Watch this. Insight. Not of the senses, but of the Spirit. If you read Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17, the Amplified Bible, it says, "For I always pray to God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets." We're going to look into that. "Into the deep and intimate knowledge of Him." Wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries. You've seen something that you have not seen before simply because of you taking the time to become aware of that which you are created and sourced from. You are spirit. You're not flesh. We know this. We're not a mind. We are a spirit being that possesses a soul mind, will, and emotion, and we live in a body. And it has to come to the place where the church of God becomes more real, more aware of the supernatural and the abilities that we possess because of who we are in Christ and not the limited, restricted realm of the natural. Because there's a perception, there's a location change, there's things that God wants you to see, there's some insights into the spirit that He wants you to see so that you can make a difference in the world. I believe we are in an hour of prayer. A season, a moment, a prayer, an hour of prayer. You know, this year, February 1st, we stepped into our ninth year as Martin Ministries International, and I like looking at numbers and what's that mean in the Hebrew and all those kind of things. And one of the things that, as God was already stirring this up in my heart about prayer, I was looking at the number 9, and one of the meanings has an indication of this hour of prayer. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 3, they went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. It was the ninth hour. There's something about this, I believe, that right now in the church as a whole, we are in this time of an hour, a season, a moment of prayer. I believe that, here's what I want you to see. Is that, you know, that we talk about prayer and we've studied about prayer, and there's the prayer of intercession, the prayer of binding and loosing, the prayer of petition, the prayer of faith. We have these different types of prayers, but before we get into those, I believe that there's this coming to God simply to receive something that we hear and that we see, and from that comes those other prayers that we ought to be living in and having active in our lives. Too many times we rush in. Man, say it, don't spray it. Come on, somebody. We're going to shampoo the carpets after Dustin's done. My goodness, I'm excited. Too many times I believe we run into the presence of God and we begin to speak something. We begin to declare something. We come and bind it and loosen it. And there's a time for that. But you remember when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter, like he is, he's like a little kid. He got excited and enthusiastic. And he said, "We got to build something." And the voice, the cloud, the glory descended. And God spoke and He said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And He said, "Hear Him." In other words, if God could have said it any better or any more aggressively, He would have said, "Shut your mouth. Be quiet for a moment and just listen." Why? And I'm going to show you this in a minute, because what God speaks, what God declares, what God deposits on the inside of you has the ability to transform your whole world, your whole life. And sometimes, you know, we've heard this where we go in and we hear somebody talking to God who knows everything. And here's the one that knows nothing talking to the God that knows everything. And sometimes I wonder, because He's so gentle and so sweet and so polite, that God just sits there because He loves us. We're His children. He just sits there and He listens and He smiles and He just watches us just get all excited. Oh, come on, Billy, get him. Glory to God. You're stomping the devil now, man. That's awesome. And yet sometimes I wonder if God's like the kid in the classroom raising his hand like, can I say something? I got the answer to that. You're asking pick me. And before God can even get anything out, we're like, "Woo, we did that, got that done." And we're out the door. And God's like, "Oh, man, sometimes I'm wondering if God's just saying, hey, let's be quiet and hear Him." And here's what I want you to see, and I was going to start my message out this way and say this, is that I want to start off by telling you a lie. And then I thought, well, better yet, expose a lie. Because I think sometimes when we, as my title is In the Spirit, the devil has tried to sell the church the idea that when you live in the Spirit or you become aware of the Spirit realm, that you become goofy. that you become ineffective in the natural world. When in reality, the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, can we say this? To be spiritually aware or in the spirit is life and peace. And so what I'm saying is that when we become to this place where we pray that the heaven is open, there's a reality change, there's a shifting that takes place. Listen to this. Prayer is a prerequisite of growth and increase. Prayer is a prerequisite of growth and increase. What am I saying? Before we do anything, God's like, I want to deposit something on the inside of you that's going to give you that's going to give you what is needed for what's coming. I like to say it this way. It prepares you. Prayer prepares you. Watch this. For the demand ahead. Prayer is a prerequisite for growth and increase. And at the same token, it prepares you for the demand ahead. I didn't have this in mind. Look at Luke chapter 5 real quick. Verses 15 and 16. Y'all still glad you came tonight? I don't know about y'all. I'm having fun. So, you know, hey, don't quit your day job. All right, here we go. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. However, the report around concerning him all the more. I'm sorry, let me start over. Hooked on phonics. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear. The multitudes came together to do what? They came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Watch this, verse 16. Now, I'm not an English scholar. I didn't do really good in English, but I know that so is a conjunction. It connects the thoughts. It puts it together. It's like, but wait, there's more. It's an infomercial, right? Come on, somebody. It says, and so they were healed by him of their infirmities. Verse 16, so he himself often, everybody say often, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Often. Why? Because Jesus was not, if you could say it this way, just dependent upon the talent to get the job done, the personality, the fanfare, but there was a dependency upon the Almighty. They said, because of what is going on, because of the demand, often I've got to go back to the source. I got to get plugged back in so that I can hear, I can see, and I can be ready for what's coming. Prayer changes your look at. Listen to this. Prayer is the gateway into the supernatural. I love that. Prayer is the gateway into the supernatural. It takes you out of the limited, restricted, natural realm. I feel like this is what's on the inside of me as the body of Christ. We've got to get out of this mentality of not having what it takes to get the job done and begin to realize what's been deposited on the inside of us. Not the fivefold ministry gifts. I'm talking about the body of Christ. There's something that's been placed on the inside of you that has the capacity to raise the dead, lay hands on the sick, watch them recover, declare, to speak, and to be who God has called you to be. We've got to get to that place where we step out of the limited, restricted, natural realm, watch this, into the fullness and boundless, come on somebody, the boundless realm of the Spirit. Out of the limited, restricted, natural. God said to Jesus, said, you are my son in whom I am well pleased. Luke chapter 4, verse 4, or verse 3 and 4. The devil comes to do what he does, right? To steal the word. Mark chapter 4. Immediately to take that word. And he brings the exact word that God spoke to him and said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. What was happening there? Satan was trying to get Jesus to prove his spiritual position and possession with a natural manifestation. He was trying to get him to prove something in the natural that is birthed and brought into reality in the spirit. Because here's the deal. The devil holds you captive. Can I open this? Glory to God. Because if not, I'm about to slip. The devil holds you captive by keeping you in the natural. Keeping you in the natural. That's why the Bible talks about you renewing your mind to the Word of God. Why? Because John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, "My words that I speak to you, they are spirit," or the spirit, "my word is spirit. The flesh profits nothing, but the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." What are we listening for? We're listening for spiritual words that helps us change a perspective, a change location, change from a natural limited a restriction to a place in the spirit that is boundless and has the capacity of the anointing. Fullness. I like to say this: prayer awakens fullness. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. I love, walk through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus was never caught off guard. Don't you love that? Nothing surprised him. Nothing spooked him. Nothing was like, pump the brakes. We didn't see this one coming. We got how many people to feed? What do we got? We got crackers and some sardines. Okay, what are we going to do? Nothing surprised him. Why? Because there was a fullness that lived on the inside of him. There was a perception change of the natural to a spiritual resource that made all things possible. See, the devil wants to hold the church captive. He wants to hold them in a place of natural thinking, natural capacity, and not allow them to get in the spirit or get to the place where they actually begin to function and operate in the capacity of what God made them to be in Christ. He wants to hold you captive. He doesn't want you to get in the spirit. Again, we were talking about that if you're in the spirit, you're goofy. Or, you know, being in the spirit, that's for special meetings. This is a special meeting, we're going to get in the spirit. But now when you go outside, you know, we've heard the phrase, you know, you're so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good. Listen to me, if you're not spiritually minded, you won't be earthly good. Because there has to be a perception change. Because if I'm earthly minded, that means I'm walking in the five physical senses to the degree that Satan can manipulate, intimidate, and control me. Which causes me to back up from what God has wanted me to do. That destiny and the purpose that He has for my life. I remember when I was at Bible school, true story. A lot of stories I make up, but this one's true. Just kidding. But true story, we were at Bible school. We were coming out Tuesday at Rhema was, what do they call it? It was the day we prayed and all that. And so we were coming out, and I was kind of ahead of this group with some other guys, and there was one of our buddies was behind us with some other guys, and his name was Eric. And Eric is walking, and this girl stops him, true story, stops him, and says, I had a dream of the back of my husband's head. And she, exactly, and we're all just like standing like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. I mean, I'm glad we didn't have phones and Instagram when I was in school, but then I kind of sometimes wish we did, you know what I mean? Because we all would have been like, oh, this is going on my story right now. She said, will you turn around so I can see, because I'm telling you. And so Eric, like kind of cautiously, but like, I can't believe I'm doing this. And we're all standing there like, I can't believe you're doing this. And he's turning around and he's like this, and she's checking out the backside of his head. And we're all like, no, she's not. She's checking out your backside. You know what I mean? It's like, let me just say, that's kind of spiritually goofy. And so we take an experience like that and we're like, if you're spiritual, then you're just kind of weird. Listen, you're not weird. You're getting a perspective change, a perception change out of the limited, restricted natural into the fullness and boundless realm of the Spirit. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 9. I'm going to read quite a bit of text here, and you'll get your scripture quota for the month right here, because I'm going to read a little bit of scripture here, but I think it'll help us. This is out of the Passion Translation. This is why the scripture says, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine, naturally, that limitation. These are the many things that God has in store for all His lovers. But God now unveils these profound realities. I love this word. These profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, He has revealed to us His inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. Watch this. I love this. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by His Spirit and the Spirit of God. Listen to me. God's into telling secrets. God's into whispering some things into your ear that you need to know, some things of guidance and direction. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says that if you lack wisdom, ask of God and He'll give to you liberally and without reproach. In other words, He'll give you open-handedly and without fault-finding. And there's some things that God wants us to see. There's some things that God wants us to hear, but we've got to get a perception change. We've got to get to that place where being in the Spirit's not spooky or weird or goofy, but it becomes a natural, comfortable place in which we live our daily lives. Why? Because there's some things of God's thoughts, His secrets, that He fully wants us to understand in the Spirit, by the Spirit. Verse 12 goes on to say, for we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit and not with the words taught by human wisdom. We join together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. His thoughts and secrets are fully understood by His Spirit. I want to say this. Satan wants you to stay on a... Oh, let me continue reading because that's my next thought there. Here we go. Verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Someone... So these are Spirit-revealed truths and Spirit-revealed words. Verse 14, someone living in an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit. Living on a human level, natural level. Satan wants you to stay on a natural human level and a natural way of thinking, for in doing so, he holds you captive. That is what the devil's after. He wants to suppress you, hold you captive, and keep you back from being the little Christian that you're called to be. Keep you limited in your thinking. Keep you limited in your perspective and your perception and being aware of the insights into the deep and intimate knowledge of who your God is. The way that you build that intimacy is through contact. You and I were created for constant contact with God. There's a couple things that the grandparents bought our children a trampoline for Christmas. Guess who got to put that together? Your boy right here. Come on, somebody. And I'm like about as handy with that kind of stuff. Like, I'll start crying and weeping when my wife's like, will you hang this blind over here? I'm just like, I'll pay somebody. You know what I mean? Like, it's not me. I'll get up there and I'm like measuring. I got the level. I got everything out, man. It's going to look good. And you stand back and that thing's still just like, sideways. You're like, how did that happen? It ain't my grace. But there was some assembly required. When you were created by God, there is fellowship is required. Fellowship is required. Constant contact is a part of what is required for you to step into the Spirit. That's why Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8 and Luke 4:4. Man does not live by bread alone or natural resource, but by every word that proceeds. Not it happened one day or might this day. It's in the constant presence. There is a demand for God's word in your life on a daily basis. Constantly hearing what the Father's saying. Someone living an entirely human level rejects the revelation of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelation of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. Those who live in the Spirit, come on, somebody say, that's me. Those who live in the Spirit, are able to carefully evaluate all things. And they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. For who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? Watch this. Christ has. Christ has, the anointed one. And we possess Christ's perception. We possess Christ's awareness. We possess the anointed one's insights into the deep and intimate knowledge of who our God is. Daniel 11 verse 35, one of my favorite scriptures, that says the people that know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. What is an exploit? Bold acts and daring deeds. See, what happens is that when you get in the Spirit and you step out of the restricted realm of the natural, there's some things that begin to manifest. There's things that begin to happen in your world where people step back and take notice, not because of who you are, but because of the God that lives on the inside of you. And where does this come from? It comes from an attitude and a time of prayer, a time of desiring to seek the intimate presence of the Father, to bask in His presence. Not just in a moment of time, but in a daily attitude of reverence, that you're in your car, you're at work, you're doing your assignment, and yet there's this desire, this longing that says, God, I love you, I want to talk with you. Father, what about this? What about that? And God's speaking to you, God's directing you, He's directing your steps. You're practicing, as Brother Lawrence wrote in his book, the presence of God. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if, in the Amplified, if my people who are called by my name will pray or humble themselves, pray, there it is, pray, desire me. It says to seek, crave, I love this, and require of necessity my face. His face, His countenance. Study the, go through Proverbs and Psalms and look at the scriptures that indicate face and the countenance of God. There's something that is revealed when you're looking at the face of your daddy. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says that the knowledge of the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus. When I get in the intimate presence of God and me and Daddy are talking, let me just stay where you are. I want to read this scripture to you real quick. Isaiah chapter 40. Y'all okay? Yes, come on, man. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 41 and verse 10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. If you jump down to verse 13, it says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. If you get the imagery of these two scriptures, God is saying, I will hold you with my righteous right hand. Verse 13 says, and I will hold you by your right hand. Can you see it? God is holding your hand. Because of you're holding God's right hand, he's holding your right hand. And you're looking into the eyes of your Father. There's this intimate contact. Eye-to-eye contact. There's a song, but I won't finish that. Here we go. I want you to see this imagery because this is where we are. This is what I believe that God's doing. Why? Because it's preparing us for something. Guys, we're living in the end of the last of the last days. This is it, man. Like, how exciting, one of the things God told me at the beginning of 2020, he said it'll be the year of the great distraction. And the devil does three things that I've found out. He distracts, he deceives, and he divides. And so what is he doing? He's trying to get you, to get your eyes off of Jesus, to get your face out of the presence of the Father and get your eyes on things that don't matter, to distract you. Why? Because if he can distract you, he can defeat you. So we keep our eyes on Jesus. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, I love this. It says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants. The prophet, his secrets to his servants, the prophets, verse 8. And the latter part of verse B says, the Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? In other words, what are you declaring? I like to say it this way, God watches over his word to perform it, not your complaint. God's watching over his word to perform it. He's not watching over your complaint. So what happens is we got things that are going on. No doubt. There's some trouble. There's some issues. The devil's doing what he's called to do, steal, kill, and destroy. But you and I, because we're intimately in the presence of God, seeking his face, listening and seeing some things, God is placing things inside of us for what purpose? I'm jumping ahead here, and I'm trying to hurry up here and wrap this up. But for the sole purpose of you putting words in your mouth so that when you speak, he watches over that, and it does not return fruitless or empty. There's a production that is happening because of what you're speaking. Let me just add this real quick. Speak what you have seen and what you heard. 1 John talks about that. 1 Corinthians 14:2 talks about tongues, and it says, I like to say, tongues is speaking intimate mysteries, truths, and secrets in the spirit. That's why the devil fights tongues so bad. Why he tries to bring such confusion around the subject and how it's passed. It's not for today. Why? Because it bypasses the natural mind and the senses and goes directly into the realm of the spirit. It's you submitting submitting your tongue to God and saying, God, I don't know what to speak. I don't have words for this situation, but I'm going to yield myself to you. And on my most holy faith, I'm going to begin to speak in tongues. That's why when you speak in tongues, your mind goes, and goes, what are you doing? You don't make sense. I know I believe in tongues. I speak in tongues a lot. And my mind still goes, you crazy. Something's wrong with you. If anybody hears it, they're like, how do you explain this? Listen, because it's not natural. It's in the spirit realm. And the devil can't handle it. He doesn't like it. Why? Because it's you instantly going into the throne room and beginning to declare the mysteries and the secrets of God. And God says, I'll take that word and I'll begin to manifest it in your life. There's something that happens when we get into that place where when we pray, the heaven is open. Number two, the Spirit descends. When Jesus prayed, the heavens open. Number two, the Spirit descended. And I like in Luke chapter 4, and I'm going to just run through these because I preached way too long already. But Luke chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, and Jesus was filled with the Spirit. He was led with the Spirit. And in verse 14 it says, and he was empowered. He returned in the power of the Spirit. When Jesus prayed, the Spirit descended. Listen to me. Filling, leading, and empowering Jesus for the assignment. When we spend time in prayer, heaven is opened and the Spirit descends in the situation. Prayer invites the operation and the assistance of the Spirit of God in your life. I'm going to say that again. When you pray and you seek God, you get in His presence, the heaven opens and the Spirit descends, which invites Him into your life. For the prayer invites the operation and the assistance of the Spirit of God. I need you, God. I need you. I'm dependent upon you. Look at John chapter 16 real quick, and I'm going to stop saying I'm hurrying. I'm just going to finish, all right? John chapter 16. Y'all know these verses. I love this. John 16, 13. It says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, has He come? He's here. Yes, sir, He is. Has come. He will what? He will guide you into all truth. What is truth? Truth is the state of constant. Hebrews 13:8 is the definition of truth. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the definition of truth. It's the state of constant. Truth is not subject to your reality. Truth is the highest form of reality. And the Spirit, the job of the Holy Spirit is to guide you into that place of all truth for all situations. For He will not speak, here it is, He will not speak on His own authority. Whatever he hears, that He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, and He will take of what is Mine, and He will declare it to you. This is why Satan doesn't want you to pray. This is why he doesn't want you basking in the intimate presence of God. Why? Because when you pray, heaven opens, the Spirit begins to descend, His operations are welcomed into your life, and He begins to lead you and guide you into all truth, which means you're at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people, getting the right results. All the time. Why? Because the Spirit of God is with me. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 33, Jeremiah 33:3 says, if you'll call out to Me, I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. What's he saying? If you'll turn your face and you'll look to Me, it's like King Jehoshaphat said, Father God, we got these armies all around us. And 2 Chronicles 22, he said, I don't know what, or chapter 20, he goes, I don't know what to do, but My eyes are on You. And God goes, all right, all right, all right, good deal. Why? Because you ain't got to fight in this battle. I got you. And God is saying to us, if you'll step into the Spirit, what happens? You step into the full armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, which is prayer armor. And it enables you to step in there, not of who you are naturally, but who you are in Christ. The Spirit wants to be a part of your everyday life. And the way that we become aware of that, allowing Him to assist us, allowing Him to help us, is to take time to become aware of who He is, to step into the Spirit. Last but not least, when Jesus prayed, the heaven opened, the Spirit descended, and I love this, the Father spoke. The Father spoke. This is probably the most important point, and won't get into all of it, but Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13, in the B part of the verse, it says, nor speaking your own words. Stop speaking your own words. The Bible calls your words idle words. Words that have no power. Words that have no effect. Words that are not backed by the Almighty. Quit speaking your own word. God, I said this already, God watches over His word to perform it, not your complaint. John chapter 3, let me read this to you real quick. I like this right here. John chapter 3 and verse 34 and 35, listen. For He whom God has sent, speaking of Jesus, He's the high priest, our apostle, the sent one. We heard that this morning from Brother Elijah. For He whom God has sent, watch this, speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. I wrote this down. The more we hear and speak God's word only, not our own words, the more we will walk in the unrestricted and unlimited realm of the Spirit. Why was there an unlimited resource of the Spirit in the life of Jesus? It was because he did not speak his own words, but he spoke God's word. Always, only. I only speak what I hear, he said in John chapter 12. Let me read that real quick. John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, verse 49 says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority." How many of y'all know there is no authority without submission? "For I have not spoken on my own authority." I'm submitted under the will and the plan of God. "But the Father who sent me gave me a command." Here's a whole nother sermon, but prayer gives the command. What I should say and what I should speak. Verse 50. "And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father told me, so I speak." Listen, you're not going to know what to say unless you've heard something. Unless you've spent some time with the Father. Unless you're in constant contact. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just excited, all right? It's like, Dustin, calm down. There's constant contact with the Father. Jesus was always, I love in John chapter 11 where Jesus is going to the tomb of Lazarus and he says, "Father God, I thank you that you always hear me." In other words, you and I are on the same channel. You're speaking to me, I hear you, and you're speaking to me, and I'm speaking to you. There's a conversation going on here. I believe that's one of the biggest deceptions the devil's tried to use in the body of Christ is that you can't hear God and your prayers sometimes and not always make it past the ceiling. In other words, he can't hear you. In other words, the line of communication has been broken. If that's true, then we're not receiving the word that we need for the situation. But 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to your prayers." When I was a youth pastor, I used to say this, God's checking you out. You know, because, you know, all the kids, they went, "How do I look? Am I looking all right? Yeah. What's up? Call me." You know, they're everybody's checking you out. God's checking you out. His eyes are on you, intimately checking you out, anticipating, what's he going to say? What's he going to do? He's there. He's looking for you to be the same way, to receive what the Father spoke. The more that we speak God's word and not our words only, the more we'll begin to walk in the unrestricted and unlimited realm of the Spirit. Luke chapter 4, this is it right here. I'm going to wrap this up. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 3. Y'all know this is, so Jesus is there, he gets baptized. The Lord speaks to him. He said, "This is my son." Look at verse 3. It says, "And the devil said to him, if," everybody say if "you are the Son of God," there it is again, command. I'm telling you, there's something here. "This stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Listen to me, I wrote this. The temptation was not turning the stone to bread. Jesus could have done that. He could have done that. But the temptation was to say something. Listen to this. This is so powerful. The temptation was to say something outside of God's word or use your own words, idle words, to produce your own will and your own way. Watch this. To satisfy self. God said this to me. He said, "Dustin, that which wars against the will of God is self-effort." That which wars against the will of God is self-effort. The temptation was, don't use what God would say. Don't depend upon him. Get out there on your own and take care of business. Satisfy that craving, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what Satan was trying to get Jesus to do here. To get outside of that dependency upon who God is and what he spoke and said, "You are my son and you, I am well pleased." There was this core dependency of saying, "God's got me. I don't have to step out here on my own and make something happen." When God called us out to do Martin Ministries, one of the things that he began to speak to us, things that he was calling us to do, things that he was placing on the inside of us. And this word about not speaking your own word, your own words, was so big on the inside of me. And he said to me, he said, Dustin, do not become a small talker around men. Do not become a small talker. What's a small talker? When you don't speak the words that God gives to you concerning the things that he's called you to, because you're concerned about the natural-minded reception of the individual you're talking to. Because a lot of times you're speaking faith and they're hearing naturalese. So what you got to do is you just got to do what you got to do, say what you got to say. If they get it, because the natural man, come on, sorry. The natural man, the natural man receives not the things of God. Neither can he understand them, why they're spiritually discerned. So when you step into the realm of the Spirit, you're going to talk different. You're going to act different. You're going to do things differently. Why? Because you're not processing or producing things in the natural realm. There's a dependency and a rest that says, my God's got this. And it'll happen because of the word that he spoke, that which he declared, and I'm going to speak that, and I'm going to let the word work while I rest. Because everything in this world is going to try to push you to make something happen. Going to try to push you to make God's word work. I don't have to work if you make the word work. It works.
That's right. It just works.
The word works. It just works. So I just got to get out of the way and allow God to be God in my life. The way that I do that is by keeping myself in the Spirit. Not allowing my mind to drift, my mind to wander and get away from the. That's why you renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, this natural way of thinking, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Why? So that just give me one more minute here, guys. I'm sorry. This is why the Bible talks about guard your heart out of Proverbs chapter 4. Because out of your heart flows the issues or the forces of life. Your spirit man has been created and made new in Christ. It's perfected. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. But the problem is that this has to go through this. And if this is limited through the natural realm, it's wanting to give out the resources of the life that's on the inside, but your mind keeps tripping up going, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. But when you get this renewed to the Word of God, like Jesus said, the words that I speak to, they are spirit. So I'm getting my mind in line with my spirit. And when the spirit and the mind get in unity, then the forces of life are released into the world in which you live. Things will begin to change. Things will begin to manifest. Why? Because this is in unity. And where there's unity, there will be productivity. That's why the devil wants division. Where there's division, a house cannot stand. You are the house of God. God lives on the inside of you. So what am I saying? We're wanting to get to that place of unity in the Spirit. Everybody say, in the Spirit. When we get into unity in the Spirit, and the soul and the Spirit are in unity, there's a rhythm involved. What happens is when God speaks a word, it doesn't trip you up. You don't stutter. What'd you say? You go, come on, be it unto me according to your word. There's no trip up. There's a reception. Again, prayer is not so much about producing as it is about receiving, getting the word of God. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, the Message Bible says, if people cannot see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But if they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. God wants you blessed. God wants things operating in your life. But you're going to have to get to that place to where you begin to attend to what he's saying. In other words, place value on the word of God, because I know that if I can hear a word, my mind gets renewed. My spirit man gets activated and fed and is energized. And when these two are lined up, come on, somebody. Nothing's impossible. Things can happen. Things can manifest. Praise you, Lord. Y'all bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this house, what you're doing in the lives of those that you've
that have heard this word tonight, those online, God, I just speak blessing over them. Thank you, Jesus.
What a powerful, fiery message by Reverend Dustin Martin. Listen, it's only going to get better from here. Next week, J.D. Romick is sharing a message. The only thing I'm going to spoil is the title of his message, All In. I'm telling you, you do not want to miss it. Thanks so much for joining and being a part of reliving this conference with me. Visit my website if you need any information, www.merleministries.com. Love you guys so much. My name is Elijah Merle, and remember this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.